Hello, my name is Vaibhav Shah and I welcome you to the 9th episode of Yoked, First Post's cricket podcast, where you can find anecdotes alongside some uninhibited conversations from the world of cricket. In testing times such as the one we as humans are currently in the middle of, where the present isn't very appealing and the future is slightly unknown, it can be more uplifting than revisiting some good old times that must see us through this difficult time. Today, we journey back to India's maiden test series triumph in Pakistan, India's first test series win on foreign soil in a decade. Taking a dive in this nostalgic trip with me is Network 18's group editor for sports, Gaurav Kalra. Always a pleasure to have you, Gaurav, and I hope you and your family are doing well.
Thank you, Vaibhav. Yes, all well.
Yes, and we also have a very special guest, a member of that Indian side, Akash Chopra, who is obviously a former India cricketer and now a very well-known cricket pundit and commentator. Chuffed to have you too, Akash. Hope all is well at your end.
Absolutely fine. Thank you so much for having me, Vaibhav. And hi, Gaurav. Hope all is well.
Yes, before we talk about the tour's backdrop and go into the details of the three tests, I'm going to ask you, Akash, to take the first word on this. Could you just put into words what it meant to you and more so the team to beat Pakistan in Pakistan, in the process be a part of this, be a part of history?
Of course, it was special. It was a special tour of sorts because India was actually touring Pakistan after 17 long years, if I'm not
close to 15 years, right?
But the only thing is that there were lots of things on our minds, and winning the test match in Multan was outstanding. But then Pakistan bounced back in Lahore, and we winning it again in Rawalpindi. It was all fantastic. But you know what you just said right at the top is something that we were not aware of. In fact, I wasn't aware of the fact that that is our maiden triumph, and it was the first outside of India test victory. For a decade at that point in time, we were as a team not aware of the fact that this is what we are trying to achieve and this is what we've actually achieved. So we were in a good space at that point in time. We had a great tour of Australia. We drew the series there. Going to Pakistan, creating very special memories, both on the field and off the field as well. It was a cherry on top, and a nice, nice, wonderful dressing, beneath it. It was indeed a very special tour.
Yes, obviously the Indo-Pakistan series, that too with the Indian team touring after 15 years required, really no hype. But it is almost inevitable that when the two neighbors meet, it is not only about sports. Cricket between these two countries always had an impact that has gone far beyond the field. This tour was also part of the peace movement and the sign of goodwill between the Vajpayee government and the General Musharraf. Gaurav, I understand you were working in the production department with the official broadcasters for the series. What was happening at your end for this highly anticipated series? I'm sure it cannot be just a routine in terms of production. Would you like to share your experience from the production room?
Yes, Vaibhav. I mean, before I do that, I in fact have a story about Akash as well from that production experience. But thinking back to tour in 2004, you have to remember the context is very important. Yeah, one is the playing context. Not only had India not toured Pakistan since 1989, but India had actually never won a test match in Pakistan. Forget about winning a series. India had never won a single test match before that 20-odd test matches over various tours and had never won a test match in Pakistan. That was the cricket side. Also have to remember what was happening on the geopolitical side. 2001, Parliament attacks, the Kargil war in 1999, which was when Pakistan had actually toured India for that memorable series. And since then, there was always going to be, this tour was always going to be on the outside. And I know Akash as a player in that tour would remember it differently, but on the outside, it was always going to be a series which had much greater resonance than just the merely playing cricket. And a lot of back and forth went on. I don't know, Akash obviously now is a media man, so he keeps an eye on these things a lot more, but I don't know if the players were watching it that much. But the test series was actually meant to be played first, but the schedule was changed and the one-day series was then flipped around and it became the first series that was played. There was a plan to play a warm-up game before the first test match. That plan was shelved. A security delegation delegation was sent to Pakistan, as you would imagine, and I think it was headed by Yashovardhan Azad, who is a well-known IPS officer. And once that reporting came back, that's when the series went ahead. And I'm sure you have many questions about that. The one thing I remember is Saurav Ganguly asked very clearly at the press conference, India's record in Pakistan is quite poor. He said, you will see that change this time around. One line answer, and he was absolutely right.
Akash, did you have any sort of clue about what Gaurav was just saying, the security, the whole schedule being, changed at the very last moment and everything?
Okay, so let me take you back to Australia, actually. That was when the talks of this tour started taking place. And there was a lot of us were actually circumspect, very skeptical, whether this tour should go ahead or not. Because Gaurav has already mentioned what had happened in the years before that tour in 2004. So when you talk about Pakistan, going to Pakistan, no Indian team has toured for 15 years. So you understand why it has all happened. And so we, at one stage, actually thought that we should be out. There should be like maybe a voting of sorts where we should be asked our opinion whether we want to tour or not. And to be very honest, a lot of us may have actually said no at that point in time if we were given the choice. Of course, that choice was never given extended to the players and was decided by the BCCI and between the PCB, the security delegation and all of that. And we were told it's good to go ahead. But yes, I do remember that a test series had to happen first, but one-day series actually took place before the test series. India, I think, went on to win that series as well.
Yes, they do.
El Balaji became a sensation. General Musharraf was there. He was just talking about his hair and all of that, and smiling assassin. And it was a good series. We were watching it. From a player perspective, for the first time, I felt that cricket was coming out of the sports pages and started appearing on the front page of every single newspaper in India. And that's when you realize that, touring Pakistan, playing against Pakistan is a completely different kettle of fish. And with regards to security, I do distinctly remember that there were quite a few mandates with regards to our movement. No movement whatsoever. In fact, we were all put on the same floor in the hotel, and that floor would be cordoned off. We were not allowed to go out anywhere. When we went to the ground, we had a convoy with a chopper on top, which would take us to the ground, and the entire city would actually be, or rather that the passage would be cordoned off. It was as if there was a curfew has been taken over and the team has been ferried to the ground and from down to the hotel. So these were absolutely unprecedented things that we experienced for the first time. In fact, when we landed there, so test guys went later. We were supposed to, obviously, you land at the arrival gate and there was full media contingent waiting for us to come out. But we were ferried from the departures terminal and nobody could actually... was told, nobody knew. Very quickly, we were into our team bus and we were off. While the media was actually, the Pakistan media was actually waiting at the arrival terminal. So you knew that you have come to a place where things are going to be slightly out of the ordinary.
Yeah, interesting you say that. In fact, I think even when the ODI team went, they were landed like 30 minutes late or something, and it was to ruse off some sort of bomb scare, which if there was a plan, it would have not happened. But such were the times, and before we reach Rawalpindi, where the Indian team won the series 16 years ago, we simply have to revisit Multan, where it all started. Akash Chopra, you faced the first ball of the series, the first ban Indian in close to 15 years, and it certainly didn't help that Shoaib Akhtar was steaming in. What must have helped you was that Virendra Sehwag was at the other end, who obviously went on to script history. First, talk us about your mind space, the pitch, the conditions, weather, the sense of the occasion, and then about the 160-run partnership that you had with Sehwag.
This is quite incredible. As a broadcaster, as someone who now follows the game or comments on the game, these things, they actually matter a lot. But as a player, you seldom think about it, because now once you put this thing in context, after 15 years playing the first ball, yes, I would have taken strike because that's what I was doing at that point in time. It did occur to me just the gravity of the situation, that, enormity of that situation, that I am the first Indian to play the first ball of a test match after 15 long years. So these things don't cross your mind, but I remember distinctly remember a few things. Rahul Dravid coming to my room on the eve of the game. Knock on the door, Rahul Dravid was there. We had like a 5-minute conversation. And the only thing he wanted to tell me was, you'll be fine. You've played Bradley, you've played these guys in Australia. This is only Shoaib Akhtar and the rest. So don't worry, you'll be fine. Talking about the pitch. Pitch was flat, let me say. It was flat, barren. But what really surprised me was the fact that there was no crowd. There were hardly any people watching the game. So while there was a lot of talk about India-Pakistan, a test match after such a long time and all of that, Multan happened to be in Zamamul Haq home ground as well. You expected more people to turn up to watch the game, but not many people actually turned up. So that's how it started. I don't recall the first ball that I played, what exactly happened. But yes, we had a partnership. I was once again the sleeping partner, so to speak, in that partnership. And Virendra Sehwag was going all guns blazing, just hitting boundaries.
I don't think so. Anybody is the dominant partner when Sehwag is batting alongside him. But whatever happened after that is now very well known. Sehwag went on to score a triple century. Gaurav, you had already been observing and consuming cricket closely for so many years. But to witness an innings of sheer audacity must be eye-opening in more than one sense, right?
Yeah, and I think, Akash, before we get to that, just making the point about the lack of crowds, I think that was because of the one-day series that had already happened. There have been 5 very, very good one-day matches that have been played. India had won that series. Some of those games were very high-scoring. And, I think that meant that the public in Pakistan had it at least a pretty good taste of India-Pakistan. So maybe that is the reason why the test matches didn't quite attract the same crowd. And also, you have to remember Akash and Sehwag at that time had become the established opening pair. Of course, I think Akash will tell the story of how he lost his place in the final test match because of the team and the way that it had to be structured in the final test match because of an injury. However, Akash and Sehwag have been opening together and had done quite a good job in Australia doing that, where India had success, like you mentioned, 1-1 in the previous series. But from my memory, what is very distinct is because I was working on kind of the production and back in Dubai where Ten Sports held the rights, you got a very clear microphone coming in, was giving you the audio feed of the action without the commentary on it. So you actually got us in an empty stadium. You get a sense of the game, the rhythm of the game in a weird way, a lot more. I don't know, Akash is a much more experienced broadcaster, so he can talk about it. But the rhythm of the game, you're watching it on television from an empty stadium and you can see and hear the players. You can hear the players clearly, as well as you can hear the sound of the ball hitting the bat and going quite clearly. So I think from that point of view, it remains memorable because of the way Sehwag just took to the Pakistan attack. And then, he played what was really a Sehwag innings. Once he got on top of Pakistan, they were just kind of, lambs to slaughter. It wasn't a great attack as well. At least besides Shoaib Akhtar, Saqlain was on his last legs. I think that was his last test match as well. And, just when he took that on and on the first day itself, essentially kind of settled India's sort of ascendancy in the game.
Akash, you probably knew Sehwag more than anyone else in the team, having, batted so much together in the first class and Australia. When did you and the players in the dressing room actually started to realize, okay, the 300 is on, it can happen? What was the mood like?
Sehwag is a phenomenon. He's a completely different kind of player. No matter how much you know him, or perhaps if you know him a lot more, then you also know that he's playing with fire all the time. But that's the way he is. So we saw him scoring that 195 and getting dismissed or trying to hit a 6 of Shannon Cattish off a full toss on that Boxing Day Test match. So you know that he could actually get out any minute, but then he could actually just keep smashing and he won't stop. So you knew both sides of what exactly you were getting with the Virendra Sehwag. See, I remember one thing. I think he got to his century while I was there at the Queen. And he reached that milestone with a 6. And I remember talking to him that, why are you doing this? I mean, there are fielders in the deep. So Saqlain Mushtaq, like Gaurav rightly said, he was on his last leg. So he was bowling. And you're close to a century on day one, maybe just 30 minutes after lunch. So why would you want to take risk? Why would you want to go aerial? You have, like, it is there served on a platter. You enjoy the feast. But so his response was, and very typical of Virendra Sehwag, he said, you know, I'm not trying to hit in the ground. So how does it matter whether the fielders are at short mid wicket or deep mid wicket on the fence? See, I'm hitting it outside the ground. So nobody's there. So how does it matter? So when you're trying to say it's got a method to obviously his madness. But then once he keeps playing, then you knew that, okay, it is going in one direction. Once he crossed 250, it started sinking in a little that there is a possibility of him going past VVS Lakshman's 281, which at that point in time was the highest test score by an Indian. That's what I think transpired in the end. There was Sachin at the other end as well. Both were having a huge partnership. Once again, the pitch was flat and the bowling had started looking a lot flatter by that time. It was one-way traffic, and Virendra Sehwag was in his own mood, in his own style, in his own flair. He went on doing what he does best, so he did best. Kept smashing the balls. Good balls for boundaries. Bad balls definitely for boundaries.
What was the chatter like in the dressing room? Give us an insight. Give us a peek.
Once again, I do not recall all the conversations. when you get into it, that's quite strange, actually. To be very honest, my test career, since when you're involved, when you're actually a part of the team, you're also thinking, I think your mind is occupied by a lot many thoughts. I don't recall like specific particular conversation when he was actually getting close to the triple century. But yes, there was, once he was into 280s, getting past the VVS section, then everybody is on at the balcony, they're talking, that we are all cheering, we are hoping that he's going to change, and now he's the highest, he's got the highest test score by an Indian once he went past VVS, and then close to his triple century. I think he got to his triple century with a six as well, I think.
That's right.
So when you go in that kind of fashion, I think the good thing with Viru is that it doesn't give you a lot of time to think. So from 280 to 300, he would have taken like 10 balls. So it's not as if it's going to simmer. It's a slow burner, and there is anticipation that's building. And you see that he's playing, he's smashing the bowlers, and one boundary followed by another boundary, a couple of dot balls, and then there is a six. So this is what Virendra Sehwag was doing. So he doesn't allow you to build a lot of anticipation when he's on song, and he was definitely on song.
Besides the individual success of the 309, what it did was it set up the series nicely for India, who weren't even required to bat for the second time around. But Pakistan came back strongly in the second test to draw 11. You kind of expected them to hit back hard, didn't you, Gaurav?
Yes, I mean, a couple of things, of course. You know, in that first test, the other side of that, other story which is remembered quite a bit from that first test is the famous declaration. Remember, Rahul Dravid was captain, not Saurav Ganguly, because Ganguly was injured and he had to go back home. So he did not captain in the first two test matches. Rahul Dravid was captain and then decided that he was going to call the players back with Tendulkar on 194. And that, of course, has been a story that has endured over the years. Tendulkar has also written about it in his autobiography, about being upset at that decision and not having been given the chance to make the 200. In the end, it proved to be the right decision, because at the end of that day too, India had picked up a couple of wickets. So, you know, clearly it seemed like it was the right decision at the time. But yeah, you expected India to Pakistan to bounce back at Lahore. And I think Akash can talk in much more detail about that test match. But from what I remember, it was a spicier wicket. And it was a pitch on which the bowlers had a lot more going for them. And once Pakistan got India out cheaply in the first innings, or at least, you know, not didn't allow them to get 600 plus, which India got in the first test match, they had a chance in the game, and then they took a big first innings lead. But yeah, it was, at least from my memory, it was a much better wicket for the bowlers to operate on.
Akash, do you remember that wicket better than the Multan one?
Oh, yes. It was a green top. And green top with a fair amount of surface moisture. And I remember Rahul Dravid once again was leading. Gong Saurav wasn't available. He was back in Kolkata, nursing an injury and getting it seen by his doctor. I remember Rahul Dravid actually saying that we'll win the toss and bat first. And I don't know whether we won the toss. We may have actually lost the toss.
No, you won the toss, Akash.
Okay.
First, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I looked at him and said, no, Rahul, you know, it's fairly green. There is moisture. Why do you want to do it? Said, no, you have done that in the Boxing Day Test match. It was moist and you guys did so well. It's only about the first session. If you see us through the first session, we'll be fine. I said, okay. fine, whatever. See, that's all you can do. And we were 5 down by lunch. So 5 down by lunch, it's almost impossible for you to then bounce back. And then actually, from there, find a way to like claw your way back into the game and win the game. That day, Yuvraj Singh scored a century, but then it was still not going to be enough. Pitch flattened out, and that's what happens in the subcontinent. If it starts green and moist, it becomes a fantastic pitch to bat once the moisture is off and greenery has become slightly brownish. So we lost, I think, the test match in the first session itself. Good bowling. I think Sami was playing. There was one more bowler. Umar Gul was there and Shoaib Akhtar. So three of them. From my perspective, it was an important test match because even though I'd got a 40 in Multan, I had a decent tour of Australia. Yuvraj Singh scoring a century. Saurav Ganguly nursing an injury. Maybe coming back very soon. I was the weakest link in that playing 11. So I knew, and by the time the second inning started, Saurav had already made a statement. I think he had spoken to the press in Kolkata that Akash is, Yuvraj Singh is opening in the third test. And I'm fit and I'll be coming back and playing. So I was wondering that my second inning has not even started. What if I go on to actually score a century, but the verdict is already out that I will not be open. I will not be playing the Rawalpindi test match, irrespective of what I did in the second inning. As luck would have it, I got out second innings and there was a inside edge of Shoaib Akhtar's ball. Buckner gave me out. It's okay. And he was actually cheeky person that he is. He was actually gloating about it. He spoke to me at the hotel reception. I remember Pearl Continental in Lahore, you know, and he actually told the receptionist, you know, I gave him out. I said, but Steve, that was an inside edge. And he wouldn't bother. He was like, yeah, that's out. So, and that was basically a death knell because the moment I got out, I knew. Even if I had scored a century, perhaps I was missing out. But not getting to a decent score, my fate was sealed. I knew that I was not playing in Rawalpindi.
And of course, Vaibhav, you must remember that Yuvraj did not open the innings.
Correct. It was Parthiv Patel.
Parthiv Patel, who opened the innings.
Correct. Akash might not remember exactly what was happening during Sehwag's 300. A batsman can never forget an inside edge when he's given LBW.
Yes, 100%. And when your job is on the line, your place is on the line, I'll tell you honestly. No, you remember all your bad decisions.
Absolutely. Yes, Akash, you weren't a part of the Rawalpindi test, the final test. It couldn't have been more tense in the sense that it was 1-1. And I'm sure you can tell us about the nerves on the eve of the test, what was discussed in the team meeting, what was the pre-match chatter like?
John Wright was the coach at that point in time. And the one discussion we had at the beginning of the test match, and it actually resonated on all 5 days. The fact that we've won test matches overseas. Because that team at that point in time had won test matches in England. They drew the series in England. We went and drew the series in Australia. So we had started making some strides overseas with regards to our performances, but we had not sealed the series. We failed in Sydney. Sydney was a good opportunity, but we couldn't actually close the series there. So in Rawalpindi, the chat was, okay, guys, let's go a step further. We know we are capable of winning test matches. We have done that now. But now let's win the series. That's the objective. It was the famous Rahul Dravid test match. When he started batting, he just didn't get out. So he just kept on batting and batting and batting. So that sealed the deal for Pakistan as well. I think if I'm remembering correctly, Pakistan, we may have won the toss and Pakistan may have batted first. And it was once again a greenish pitch. And India was batting on the in the evening on the first day itself.
That's right.
So you knew that you've dismissed the opposition cheaply. It was basically a repeat of Lahore. Guess the difference was that it was Pakistan who batted first in Rawalpindi. It was India who batted first in Lahore. And the same, then the pattern actually just unfolded that once you bat the opposition out of the game, you know there is only one result possible. India managed a mammoth total, even though Sehwag was, I think, dismissed on the first ball. Pakistan got some runs. He got a 60, I think. 60 or 70. And India managed a huge total. So once that was the case, there was no way Pakistan was winning that one.
You're absolutely spot on with your memory on this one. Yes, to some extent, you know, Sehwag's 309, belligerent 309, kind of overshadows Dravid 270 for the casual fans, if I may say so. When people reflect on the series, that's... But Sehwag took the strike for the first ball for the final test and he was dismissed for a golden duck. Akash Chopra was doing it for the first two tests. Sehwag did on the first time in the third test and he was out. So Dravid faced the second ball of the test and put in a marathon effort, batting over 12 hours and playing the longest innings by an Indian then, playing 495 balls. What memories do you have of that, Gaurav?
Yes, I mean, you know, I think I remember hearing the story from one of the journalists who was on the tour that on the eve of the test match, on the second day when India were meant to bat, I think a group of journalists or a group of journalists along with some players happened to have dinner with Rahul Dravid, who was on that tour. I would imagine there was not a lot of social interaction possible for the players, so the journalists spent a lot of time with the players, and I think he was in the middle of this conversation, he got up and started to leave, and the journalist asked him, Rahul, please stay for some more time. It's only 9 o'clock in the evening or something of that kind. And he turned around and said, listen, I'm the only one who's got to bat all day tomorrow. None of you guys have to. And he ended up doing exactly that because, you know, it is you see the Sehwag innings and you see the Rahul Dravid innings. It's understandable why the Sehwag innings is something that remains etched in memory to a greater extent because, you know, you would see the highlights reel, you would see the guys for hitting sixes and making 300 in virtually no time. But, you know, essentially Rahul Dravid's innings is the series clincher at that time. Not only has he batted for a very long period, like Akash said, but he stretched the lead to a point from where it becomes impossible for Pakistan to come back in the game. And one thing about that innings remains completely etched in my memory is how he got out. It was a very un-Dravid way to get out because they were looking to score quickly, and he actually played a reverse sweep
of Imran Farhad. Imran Farhad,
who's claims to be a bowler are really, as absurd as my claims to being foreign minister. It was just the most un-Dravid-like shot, and he got out at that time. But by that time, India had 600, so the lead was well over 300. And the other thing that I remembered about that second inning, I don't know how much of that Akash saw from his batting wasn't. There was one session in which India just kept dropping catches. One catch after the other just kept going down in that Pakistan second innings as they were pushing for victory. And yet India kept taking wickets. And the story goes, I think, that when the team was in the dressing room, whether it was for lunch or for tea, John Wright really let the team have him saying that, why do you want to take 20 wickets when 10 will get the game done for you? But yes, a very, very clinical victory and very important at that time, not just because it was in Pakistan, but also because, like Akash said, India finally won a series overseas, which hadn't been happening considering all the little building blocks of success they were having overseas.
Excellent, excellent story there, Gaurav. Before I give Akash the last word, Gaurav, do you want to put this series win into perspective, what it did for India? Obviously, India won its first test series in the decade, and then they happened to go on to win in England, West Indies, New Zealand in that following decade. They even drew series in South Africa, and then obviously, you know what happened in the next decade, you know, where we eventually won in Australia. So it was in that sense, it ticked off, even in Zimbabwe for that matter. So
I think it was important because I think there was, what was impressive for me was that while India did win the series in Pakistan, there were a lot of memorable performances. It seemed like it was the logical, not the conclusion, but the logical point to a journey that had been undertaken for the last few years. It had been the stated ambition of this team to do much better overseas because home results were in any case coming, and Pakistan had been a very hard country traditionally for India to tour. Like I said, had never won a test match, leave alone a series in Pakistan in all of the years that they had toured there. And, you know, so while you focus on the off-the-field achievements, etc., this was a reasonably good Pakistan team. It wasn't an exceptional Pakistan team, but it was a reasonably good Pakistan team. And for India to come back from that defeat in Lahore, where a lot of people thought, gosh, I mean, this is, you know, the kind of thing that from where India will can end up losing, there was a certain sort of assured manner in which India ended up winning the series. And, you know, just before Akash finishes this off, the one thing I remember very clearly as being highlights producer on this is hearing a lot of Akash from his position at forward short leg, where, and he was an accomplished sledger, a really clever sledger, not even one bad word, at least I remember hearing, but on the mics, you could clearly hear him say, and the one sledge I remember very, very clearly is, I think Pakistan were asked to follow on, would have been probably Multan, or batting in their second innings, and the same batsman was in for the second time in the day, and I remember him very clearly saying, bhaiyo, ye din mein dusri baar batting kar raha hai, isko allow nahi karna. and that was Akash Chopra's other stellar contribution in the series, which was getting under the skin of the Pakistan batsman.
Absolutely.
It helps if you're talking in the same language. It's easier to sledge.
Akash, do you remember any other one before I give you the final word?
There was a lot of chatter, of course. See, as a fielder, I've always felt that if you're playing only as a batsman, what is it that you can contribute in every inning? There is no way you're going to score in every game. So how is it that you can actually contribute? So one is you will chair your bowlers. The second is you just get involved in a conversation. Albeit keeping in mind that it should not be unparliamentary. It can actually, your stump mic could easily pick it up and nobody should have a problem with it. So I followed that principle to the T, that always be very polite, but then make sure that you're passing on the message, which plays on your mind constantly. So we had lots of these, not just one, lots of these. There was one guy, Yasir Hamid, I think he was playing in that series and was phenomenal. So I remember he met me in the swimming pool once, and he said, I won't get out. I said, are you Don Bradman? I mean, even Don Bradman got out. So we just left it at that. And the moment he came out to bat, then all of us actually went after him that Don has come. Don has come, he never gets out. And he obviously got out in the end. Everybody died. So there were lots of conversations around the game itself. But all in good spirits, to be very honest, because it was a very intensely fought series. Both teams were fairly good, may not be exceptional, but decent teams. But you never felt that there was animosity. You never felt that they were like we were going at each other completely unabashedly, where we didn't know where to stop and lines were getting crossed every single time. That didn't happen, and golf would have felt that while cutting the highlights, etc. as well, because that's been very good in that respect. Off comment here and there, maybe, yes, but more or less, it would have stayed within the decorums of the game. So that was also very nice. That a good contest, but fought fairly in the end, won fairly.
Yes, Vaibhav,
I just want to add quickly to that, you know, not just that, but I think the generally sort of warm embrace of the Indian players in that, and you know, that series had a lot of stars for India. Virendra Sehwag and Anil Kumble had a good series. Rahul Dravid, of course, we've talked about all of that. But the biggest star of that series was Lakshmipathy Balaji, who was really embraced by Pakistani people across the country, and there were huge chants going out in his name, and there were, you know, sort of songs that were kind of reformatted for him, Balaji, Thodakire Chalo type. There were lots of things of that kind. So, you know, I think it was a series that, at least, yes, Akash is absolutely right. You know, we remember even the reporting coming out of the series was of sort of a lot of warmth, friendship and great memories.
Absolutely. If Akash would have known that you were on the highlights, you were doing the duties, I'm sure he must have pushed, he could have pushed few lines here and there.
No, mate. I don't swear generally. So I'm a good Delhi boy. Like all Delhi boys are.
Sure. Akash, I'll give you the final word. Talk us about the celebrations which happened after winning the test match. I'm sure it must be a highly satisfying feeling for some of the boys. A video recently has gone viral of the 2001 series that was celebrated with Tendulkar, Dravid and Ganguly uncorking some champagne bottles. I'm pretty sure there weren't any champagne bottles in the Rawalpindi dressing room, but there must have been some pretty fun scenes with the likes of Yuvraj Singh present. So tell me something about that.
See, all of us, actually, I think what happened was one image is etched in the memory that Indian media was also there. A huge, like a very strong contingent was also there. And they did, so they were all standing on the ground and we were in the dressing room. So all of us actually came out. We came out, we had trophies in our hand and then we just stood there and there were some crowd, not a huge like Indian contingent or just not in huge numbers. But so we were out there, we were shouting, we were clapping, we were obviously very, very happy. Dressing room, of course, no champagne, no alcohol. We were in Pakistan, we knew it. And I think if you were to compare, we should not compare, but if I were to compare winning that test match in Adelaide and winning that test series in Pakistan, so I have more like distinct memories of winning that game in Adelaide, where we won the test match, as compared to what happened in Rawalpindi. Maybe, you know, when you're quietly growing in confidence as a team, so then you don't celebrate your victories as vociferously as you would otherwise, maybe because the team had actually started maturing in a very, very, very different manner, where you felt a certain very strong feeling of joy and elation and everything put together in Adelaide. In Rawalpindi, you knew that, okay, everything is all right. You know, we are good enough to win it. And there was this confident air around the entire setup, which did not lead to like over the top joyous celebration, if I were to put it that way.
Sure. That is a very fine note to end this episode of Yacht, where we commemorated one of the most decorated test series win by India on its 16th anniversary. Must express my gratitude to Akash Chopra for sharing some wonderful stories, as with Gaurav Kalra for his company and insights and again, superb stories. Thank you, gentlemen. Thoroughly enjoyed recording this.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks a lot.
For our listeners, check out all the previous episodes and you can subscribe to Yacht so that you will be notified when the next episode comes out. The podcast is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher and our website firstpost.com. Until next time, stay safe.